Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "You can perform a task that even I cannot do. But for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there." This is one of the most wonderful verses in the whole of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, wow. Why not wow? Because in this verse, these verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving Nityananda Prabhu and indirectly all of us the mission to spread Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. In this age of Kali, practically 10% of the population is fallen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly delivered many fallen souls, but his disciples mainly came from the upper classes. For example, he delivered Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many others who were socially elevated, but fallen from the spiritual point of view. Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were situated in government service, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the topmost scholar of India. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati was a leader of many thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. It was Srila Nityananda Prabhu, however, who delivered persons like Jagai and Madai. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, "Amara dushkara karma torma hoite hoi." Jagai and Madai were delivered solely by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. When they injured Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya became angry and decided to kill them with his Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu saved them from the Lord's wrath and delivered them. In the incarnation of Gaura Nitai, the Lord is not supposed to kill demons, but is supposed to deliver them by preaching Krishna consciousness. In the case of Jagai and Madai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he would have immediately killed them, but Nityananda Prabhu was so kind that he not only saved them from death, but elevated them to the transcendental position. Thus, what was not possible for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, if one is true to Gaura Nitai's service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu, which means you, by his grace, can deliver many thousands of Jagai and Madai. That is a special benediction of the disciplic succession. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of the Lord and his devotees are concerned. Therefore, Lord Shiva says, "Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarachanam." Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best, and better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, Vaishnava. It's from the Padma Purana, yes, wow. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna provoked Arjuna to fight because all the warriors on the battlefield were to die by Krishna's plan. Krishna himself did not want to take credit. Rather, he wanted Arjuna to take credit. Therefore, he asked him to fight and win fame. Tasmat tvam utishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajam samridam. It's scattered across the... Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savisachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita 11:33. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. Hanumanji or Vajrangaji, the servant of Lord Ramachandra, serves as another example. It was Hanumanji who jumped over the sea in one leap and reached the shore of Lanka from the shore of Bharatavarsha. When Lord Ramachandra chose to go there, he paved the way with stones, although by his will, the stones were able to float on the sea. If we simply follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement can advance, and even more difficult tasks can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. Is that it? That's the end of that one, is it? Okay. Well, what a wonderful period we come to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Nittai, to Lord Nityananda. He's asking him to go and do the things that he cannot do. But I thought Krishna, who blows the conch on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, very nicely done, by the way. Wasn't it nice yesterday? Who came to the Bhagavad Gita? Gita Jayanti. And who did not come to the Gita Jayanti? Be ashamed, be very ashamed. It was wonderful. Krishna blows the conch shell on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he also plays the flute. Either way, he incarnates as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So where is all this nonsense coming that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Mahaprabhu himself, cannot preach theologically? You know, would Harvard University have a problem with this, Maharaj? But God comes, and God is saying, you go to Bengal because I can't do it. I took birth there, but I can't do it. What's going on? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and he comes in a particular form, and he's saying, in this form, it may be better if you do this. I'm a sannyasi now. For different reasons, I've come as a sannyasi. Chaitanya Bhagavat has it that he tells him, he says, do not forget women. I don't preach to women. I preach to Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami. I preach to Mayavadi sannyasis. I preach to Sarvabhauma Vajracharya. You go and preach to the women. You preach to the villagers. I preach to the top class people. You go and you preach to the elderly. So he goes to the list of categories. You preach to the poor. You do that, I'll preach to these people. In the last one, we found that, in verse 64, we found that some very interesting things. The Prabhupada says, preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult throughout the world is more important than staying in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri for one's own personal satisfaction. Well, that blows one of the five most powerful elements of devotional service out of the water, doesn't it? Kaboom. Destroyed. Mathura Vas, going to live in Vrindavan. Who wants to go and live in Vrindavan? Put your hands up. Who wants to go and live in Mayapur? Put your hands up. Okay. Who wants to go and live in Bolton? Put your hands up. Huh? Who wants to go and live in Grimsby? But here, Prabhupada is saying that for one's own personal satisfaction, we go to these holy places. But priti vichayati arta nagaradi gram sarvatra parachara hoibhi moranam. To carry out the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bolton or in Grimsby. We've picked these for a particular reason. If you're not familiar with the geography of the United Kingdom, you may not know these two places. But if you do, you'll smile. That preaching Krishna consciousness in Grimsby is much more important than living in Mathura. I didn't say that. But the founder of the Krishna consciousness movement says that in purport to number 64. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. What's the perfection of life? Is to satisfy Krishna. Prabhupada said one time that Krishna is never in anxiety. He says, you'll never see a sad picture of Krishna. Have you seen a painting of Krishna sad? He says, Krishna's never sad. He's Ananda, Satyam. He's always happy. This is the Vaikuntha, this is the spiritual world. The Lord is never unhappy. He said, but when he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see him in anxiety. What is his anxiety? He comes in the mood of Radha to deliver the fallen souls. So Krishna's bliss mixed with compassion creates a certain type of transcendental anxiety. And this must be relieved. So if one serves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must serve him in a way that relieves his anxiety. And what will relieve his anxiety? Prithivichi, Nagaradi Gram, every village. So it's very, very specific. One time we had a meditation. We'd go to the book room, BBT book room, wherever it was at that time, and we'd see about 3 or 4 pallets of books. And we'd look at each book, and our Sankirtan leader would say, our meditation today is that this book, and he'd walk over and point to a book, this book is going to Mr. Hodgkinson of 42 Acacia Avenue, Grimsby. And he'd make up names and addresses for each of the books to go. He said, all we have to do, by Krishna's grace, it's already done. All we have to do is serve the Lord and make it a reality. So that was our meditation. The right person would come along and take the book from us. So it's not that we should act whimsically for the Lord's personal satisfaction or for our own satisfaction. Prabhupada in this purport, he says, this order comes down through the parampara, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciple so that he can spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here's the clinch at the end of that purport. It is the duty of every disciple. Could you please repeat this in English? It is the duty of every disciple. Okay, crank it up to religious cult mode, please. It is the duty of every disciple. You can put your fist in the air if you like. To carry out the order. Of the bona fide spiritual master. And spread Lord Chaitanya's message. All over the world. Now, don't be confused. Spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world includes Grimsby. We cannot do this in a vague, abstract way. That I'm part of a movement to spread these teachings all over the world. You'll never get anything done. Imagine the National Health Service, if you will. The wonderful, glorious National Health Service. What is the job of the National Health Service? To provide medical care to those who need it, free at the point of request. Now, if I'm sitting somewhere in a hospital, and I'm any kind of person in the system, I'm asked by someone, what is your job? My job. My job is to just make people healthy. And I go to the cleaner, and I say, what is your job? My job is just to make people healthy. And I go to the registrar. What is your job? I'm just making people healthy. Anyone who comes. Oh dear, what sort of hospital organization would that be? Delivery of medical care has to be specific to an individual who's in bed number 62 with a specific complaint and a specific medication. Just like if you go to your doctor, you go to your GP, and you say to your GP, he says, as they do, so what seems to be, how can I help you? And you say, oh, just in general, I just wanted you to help me in general. Or you go to your accountant. Accountant's job is to be very specific. Accountants love numbers, don't they? Anybody in accountancy here? Any accountants? You're all very timid. You can put your hand up all the way. We glorify you. We glorify the accountant. If someone comes to you and they say, can you help me with my finances, please? And you say, yes, in a general way, I'll help you. No, it's specific. So help is given specifically for a specific person in a specific village. So when we say, we're including the general, but we're focusing on the specific. That's why the Krishna consciousness movement of England, let's say, is to go to every town and village in England. Don't think that that may happen at some time in the future and somebody else will do it. If each and every one of you are thinking somebody else will do it at some point in the future, it will happen. I'm confident, I have faith, Kripa Moya, that by the mercy of the Lord, it will happen. I have faith. Are you going to do it? Well, no, not me exactly, but I have confidence that it will happen eventually. Okay. Well, that attitude, everybody in the National Health Service would be, every hospital would be empty. Every accountant would be out of a job. In the Gaudiya Mutt, they also had this idea. We learned that in the Gaudiya Mutt, there were certain chief theologians that were saying, Prithivichyata Nagaradigram means every town and village in Bengal. Every town and village in Bengal will be touched by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we've done it. In the last 50 years, the Gaudiya Mission has touched every village in the whole of Bengal. Our job is complete. Prithivichyacha Nagaradigram means every town and village in Bengal only. That was their interpretation. Luckily for you, luckily for me, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was not convinced of that. Luckily for us that he thought Prithivichyacha Nagaradigram. Nagaradigram means every town and village in the world. In the world, and we are living proof that he had that as a belief. So in this verse 65, what do we find? We find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to the upper class disciples. Generally speaking, as devotees, we're a little bit communist. We're a little bit anti-establishment. Have you noticed? The movement, our movement fills up with sort of, you know, anti-establishment, communist people. You know, here's my fist coming up again. At least I found that in the 1970s. I don't know what it's like now. Maybe not. But it was all about reducing the differences between people. And using this verse in the Bhagavad Gita that the noble Brahmin, the wise Brahmin, sees all living beings as equal. Brahmani gavi hastini. Shuni chaiva svapakecha. Right? We see everybody equally. I don't see any upper class people. I don't see any lower class people. Well, that means you don't see the tiger. So the corollary of that verse, that we see everybody equally because they're all spirit soul, is that you still do not embrace the tiger. This is the point. You see the tiger as equal to the dog, to the tree, to the elephant, to the man, but you don't embrace the tiger because the tiger still thinks he's a tiger. And he still thinks you are a snack. So you better be careful. So we're operating in this world, but our vision may be above it. So there are such things as upper class people. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to them. Upper class generally means those who are leading, controlling, that hold the wealth of society, the intellectual power or the financial power of society. And if you want to spread any teaching, you capture the affluential and the influential. That's why when the Labour Party wants to be popular, it invites Oasis and Blur to come to number 10 Downing Street. Otherwise, they don't even like that music. But you are influential with the young people. You're influential with the young voters. And it's good for me to be seen standing with you. Because by association, I will be then become popular. I'll share in your popularity. Every politician does it. So devotees, we, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interested in Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya because he's the theologian to the king. The whole kingdom, the king has a theologian. I once met the queen's theologian, very nice man. Do you meet him? What was his name? I said, what does your work entail? He said, well, twice a year I go to Buckingham Palace and I meet with the queen. And I said, do you talk theology or philosophy? He said, we talk horses mainly. He said, I talk about whatever she wants to talk about, whatever Her Majesty wants the conversation to be. So it's usually horses. So he was saying, we gave him a Srimad Bhagavatam set. And I said, Christianity in the early days was Thomas Aquinas, when he was writing Summa Theologica, he tied the teachings of Jesus to the teachings of Greek philosophers. And in this way, there was a code, because Jesus had a lot of moral certitude, but he had no philosophy. So Christianity needed a philosophy to tie it to. So that combination of Greek philosophy and moral theology, plus the salvific grace of Christ's death on the cross, that's what we now know as Christianity. And I said to him, what would it have been like if you'd have tied the teachings, an example of Christ, to the Srimad Bhagavatam? His eyes just went up and he said, oh, he said, that would have been very powerful. Very powerful. These two things are brought together. Anyway, so Lord Nityananda here in this verse, he's been given an order that I will do the higher class people and you will do the rest. And in this verse, we see that the Bhaktivinoda Thakur has talked about the order being given. And he says this, he calls this song Agya Tahal. Tahal means patrol. A patrol. When you build a temple, a tahal is not important. A temple is built so that people will come to it. But if a movement for spreading Krishna consciousness is to be created, then a tahal is very important. Why? Because a tahal means that you're going on the orders of the head of the Guru Parampara and you're introducing Krishna to others, introducing the message, rather than waiting for people to come to a temple. So with Jagai and Madai, the legitimacy for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, or not Nityananda's position, was established. And he went and he did what we're doing. We're following in his example. He went up the motorway. He went up the motorway of Bengal in the 1500s. What was the motorway? What was the M1 of Bengal in those days? It was the Hooghly River. That's right. You can get to anywhere from anywhere up the Hooghly River and its tributaries in the Ganga. His idea was to make repeat visits without staying in a place, to do festivals, to do Harinam, to distribute prasadam. And for us, it's, we would shrug our shoulders and we would say, well, yeah, of course, that's what you do. You distribute prasadam to everybody. You teach everybody. You try and get everybody to chant Hare Krishna. Well, it was a revolutionary idea in those days. No one had done it. At least in that part of India. There was a somewhat comparable movement in the south, but that's another story, south of India. Now, this costs money, isn't it? When we have a festival program, it costs money. Book distribution actually costs money. You make money by selling books, but you printing and publishing, my gosh, takes a lot of money. And so who is going to fund it? Well, one of the big funders was a great devotee called Udharandatta Thakur. And have you ever seen a picture of Udharandatta? He's a very jolly person, very fat, almost Humpty Dumpty. He's very fat. I guess that's a way of a medieval painter painting a rich and successful household, putting them round. In India, if you want to say that someone is successful and enjoying life, you give them a big belly. Anyway, Udharandatta Thakur, he would supply the funds necessary. And Lord Nityananda, together with what became his 64 associates, the 64 cowherd boys, would go. Could you imagine the kirtans? Nityananda Prabhu, okay, 64 cowherd boy associates, liberated souls, pulling into your village, okay? We once pulled into a village, I keep telling this story, but it's one of the miracles of my life. We pulled into a village where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually told the villagers to chant Hare Krishna 500 years ago. To this very day, all the members of that village, they chant Hare Krishna before breakfast. All the men of the village gather together at the village pump, and they have a kirtan, big kirtan. They go up to the edge of the village, back to the pump, out to the other edge of the village, back to the pump. Where's the women? Well, the women are on the doorsteps, and all the women have cloth in their hands, and they're all waving, spurring the men on. So we encountered them. This is in Andhra Pradesh, not in Bengal, Andhra. Which was even stranger because it's where Lord Chaitanya was going down to south of India. And there's about 90 of them all came out onto the road. And I was bewildered. Well, there's a Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Mission, some other mission that we've not heard of. Andhra Pradesh, why are they chanting Hare Krishna Mantra? Why are they doing this? So they told us the story. 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had passed through and ordered them. And the order was still relevant, still going on. You get an order from the guru, you don't look at your watch and say, well, no, he told me that 5 years ago. No, it's a permanent order. Do it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ordered after 500 years. You can go to Bengal now. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote this Agya Tahal, he started groups, kirtan groups. And they're still going after 140 years. 140 years later, they're still going. Why stop? Why stop something that's eternal? Eternity means it doesn't stop. So the idea was to, quote unquote, plant a kirtan group and move on. Plant a kirtan group and move on. Plant a kirtan group and move on. And then go back to see if they're still doing it as a maintenance. But Lord Nityananda was going for people who were village-based, and he wasn't creating a scholastic center, because he didn't leave behind him a library, didn't leave behind him a temple, but just kirtan in the villages, simple people. What this did, it normalized householders chanting together, which is really the perfection of Krishna consciousness. At the moment, we're still living with the 1970s culture that the perfection of Krishna consciousness is to distribute books. I say to you, the perfection of Krishna consciousness of this movement will come when we have perfected the work of Nityananda Prabhu and left behind us kirtan groups in every town and village that will be perpetuated. That is the real calling for us. Because the end of everything is not to read a book about Krishna consciousness, certainly not to sell a book about Krishna consciousness. The end of everything is that a person becomes Krishna conscious. That may come about as in the form of a book at first, but then kirtan must come at some point. So families migrated, they became interlinked, they talked about it, they shared ideas. They said, wasn't it great when he came with all his festival crew? And we had a great time. I've started chanting in my town. What about you? Oh yeah, we've started a group as well. He went to Kumaranagar, Ambika Kalna, Radhadesh, Birbhum, Bankura, Saptagram, Baradaman, and Triveni. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu's disciples and followers, they completed that work by going to the south of Bengal. So, and then leadership came on later to organize what had already been established. The idea is to preserve what we have, but to carry what we lack. Somebody said that before. Preserve what we have. So it doesn't mean, well, we have one temple in London, we should definitely put all our efforts into preserving that one temple in London. Or we have Bhaktivedanta Manor. It takes a lot to preserve Bhaktivedanta Manor. We should do that. After 50 years, Bhaktivedanta Manor has now expanded to Cambridge and Liverpool. Anywhere else, Maharaj? Anywhere else planned? One thing that has been achieved is that when we did a tally of all our kirtan groups, we find that Bhaktivedanta Manor has created 69 in just this one temple's area, 69. Coupled with the round, so it's healthy, but not healthy enough. Before you get happy at what we've achieved in 50 years, that's half a century, folks. Half a century. Okay, it is one group a year. We can do better. So this, yes. So I would like to say that today. Here's my vision for today. Would you like to hear my vision for today? Yes. Oh, thank you. That's very nice. It's because they've given me a big chair that you're listening. My first sutra of the Kripamoya Sutras is preaching means traveling. Preaching means traveling. Because not everybody who's interested in Krishna to the point where they will take up practice of japa. Not everybody lives in the same town to which a modern school kid would go, duh, of course not. The followers, the future followers, in one purport where he's talking about Advaita Acharya, Srila Prabhupada said, the future members of this Krishna consciousness movement are already living in every town and village, and it is the duty, therefore, of the current members simply to go and find them. They're already there. You almost don't have to do too much. One boy was what was his name? Maharaj. Initiated by Chandramouli Maharaj. And he went down to Exeter. Sudraita, yeah. And just by his cooking for people, he brought three young men to Krishna consciousness and others, but three men. Who are now chanting 16 rounds a day just by his cooking and sharing in the university. It's happening all over. But one thing we do very well is attract people to Krishna consciousness. One thing we currently do not do very well is look after them once they've come. Unless you're in the business of looking after people in the NHS, patients will die. I went into hospital and had a big operation a few years back. And the surgeon came and looked at me once with a clipboard and a group of student doctors. I never saw him again. That's it, that's surgeons for you folks. They come, they make the cut, you never see them again. But the nurses, I saw them every day for 6 weeks. See, in Krishna consciousness is like that. The festival program comes into town, makes a big cut. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. People go, wow, and then there's a samosa, and there's, wow, this is amazing. I want this, I want this, this is really good. It's just what I've been looking for. Then, tumbleweeds, crickets, nothing. We have to be better than that. We have to look after people. But it only works if the current members make a promise to themselves that in 2026, I'm going to look after three people. If you yourselves made the promise of my New Year resolution, I'm going to look after three people. And don't become flummoxed by that. Don't think, well, don't think artificial humility. Don't think, I'm nothing, I'm no one, I'm just, you know. That's like a tiny piece of copper wire situated in an electric cable going, I'm just a tiny piece of copper, what can I possibly do? No, but when all the tiny, tiny, useless pieces of copper wire come together, zap, the electricity can go through them. Yes, you are nothing. But will you just stand there long enough for the electricity to come through? That's all we need. We need you to be humble, but just shut up with your humility. And let God work through you. If you don't let God work through you, your humility is worth nothing. So traveling means, preaching means traveling. I was, you know, at the end of the day, we would call in the scores. Okay, they still do that? At the end of the day, you call in your scores. How many books, how many, whatever you did. And in those days, kids, there was something called the telephone box. And it was a box on the street with a telephone inside. You'll never believe it now, but telephones did not come in your pocket. So you had to drive until you found a phone. So I found the phone and I was phoning in our scores. And then I looked over and blimey, there's a kirtan going on in a church hall. This is like in near the village of Soham in Norfolk. And it's like, you know, this is so nobody there. But in the village hall, there was a kirtan going on. And I thought, I went over. You should have seen the look on my face when I saw the kirtan group. Only six people. And you should have seen their face when they saw me. When Indians, we love them. You can sit down and have a kirtan because it's your culture. These were English people. And they'd arranged a kirtan just from one visit to the temple. They'd started something in their village. And it was proof to me, if I ever needed proof, that it's possible. Every town and village is possible. But it means that we have to travel, which means traveling is uncomfortable. Jumping on a train or jumping on a bus or driving your car somewhere, especially in a place where you're not sure of the welcome that you're going to get. And people have strange ideas. You know, you arrive in someone's home and the internet has been there before you. And I was reading on the internet, what about this Swami? What about you? And you go, oh my God. Didn't you have some schools or something where you had some problems in your schools? Wasn't there a big court case? Oh, I wish I was preaching in the 1970s. And everything was fine then. We only had theology to deal with. Now we have scandals and gossip and internet conspiracy theories. And is it true they changed Prabhupada's books? Is it true they... at GBC are they all, you know... The internet gets to every living room, every living room of every town and village before you get there. So you have to deal with that. But if you can adequately deal with that, then you'll find that underneath people are just there. As soon as they trust you, you then become the face of Hare Krishna. Okay. If you become the face that they trust, then they trust everything else. Secondly, second of the Kripamoha Sutras, every disciple must take this order. There is no such thing as a person who's a preacher and a person who's a non-preacher. This concept should not be allowed. We should disallow this concept. Every disciple has the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Means everybody can do something. Okay. Every village means every village. Not every big city. Well, you know, somebody's done it. We're so grateful. All the Prabhupada disciples, they gave up so much to take this movement everywhere. Now it's gone everywhere. Now I can get on with what I really wanted to do, which was to go and live in Mathura. It's in Birmingham, it's in Nottingham, it's in Leicester. We even have a group in Loughborough. Even in Norwich, there's a group. It's gone everywhere. We did it. I honor those true disciples of Prabhupada who made it happen. It's not gone everywhere. You know how many temples we have? Less than 20. You know how many groups we have? Less than 150. It's nowhere. A very fringe group. But the desire for Krishna consciousness springs eternally in everybody's heart. We have a lot to say and we have a lot to do. One time there was a TV producer and one of our devotees was somehow involved in the team and said, why don't we invite the Hare Krishnas onto television? He said, oh, them. They have opinions. I didn't know that they had opinions about stuff. You know, do you have opinions? We need to have opinions. How Krishna consciousness can solve the problems of the world. If you don't have any opinion on it, you open your mouth, nothing will come out. We have to have an opinion. All classes of people, Prabhupada says. In another purport, which if I had it at my fingertips, I would tell you, Prabhupada says that all classes of devotees must combine to execute this order. You know that purport? All classes of devotees must combine. Everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. Are we winding down now, mentally? Have you had enough? Oh, okay. That's good, because I've got a bit to go. The Gaudiya Math, when they came to, this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's preaching organization. They came to England. One of the people they dealt with was the Marquess of Zetland. Have you heard his name? Marquess of Zetland. Zetland is an old name for Shetland. Now I thought he was a relatively unimportant member of the upper classes. But the Marquess of Zetland's father was the first Marquess. And he had 68,000 acres of land. Most of it was not in Shetland. It was mostly in Yorkshire. And then his son, that the devotees were preaching to, had inherited, just recently inherited, 68,000 acres. You know what 68,000 acres is? If you stand in Trafalgar Square and you walk for 6 miles south in London, then you go back to Trafalgar Square and you walk 6 miles north and draw a circle around those 2 points, that's 68,000 acres. It's huge. They were preaching to him, and he wanted to become a devotee. And he was the one who said, I want to become a Brahmin. What do I need to do to become a Brahmin? And the first thing they told him was, you have to follow these regulated principles. He said, oh, I could never do that. There was two organizations Prabhupada wanted to create. Two or three. Four, actually. One was called the BBT. Have you heard of that one? Publishes the books. One was called the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. Have you heard of that one? Looks after old temples in Bengal. Third organization Prabhupada wanted to create was called ISKCON. But the fourth organization here in England that Prabhupada wanted to create was the Society for Gentlemen. The Society for Gentlemen. And it was going to be an organization where there was no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. And they could chant or not chant, but it was just going to be an association of gentlemen, the upper classes. That was his idea. Not my idea, his idea, the Society of British Gentlemen. That was his idea. So if you create something, which is upper class, because the founding members are upper class, then other people will want to join it. I was talking to one of our devotees who's just been made a member of the House of Lords, and he's now he's debating in the debating chamber things like euthanasia, taking of life before the natural course has run. And so these are big topics, of course. Anyway, so at a Vyasa Puja in 1934, the people that came to the Vyasa Puja included lords, ladies, and members of the aristocracy. And the devotee preachers were presented to the king, King George the Sixth, and the Queen Mother. It's quite amazing. They, you know, their social circle was very high. How was the social circle so high? Because they knew people like the governor of Bengal, John Anderson, who gave his name to the famous Anderson shelters in the Second World War. He was the governor of Bengal, and he is the one that we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati going under the arch, which says, "God save the king." So they moved in good circles, but what they didn't move in was the circles of people who had no social position to give up, which is what Prabhupada did. They'd been shown an example by their guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, who for the common folk, for the rich and famous folk, he spoke to them in one way. For the common folk, he arranged agricultural shows. At a big agricultural show, and all the recent develops. This is the Gaudiya Math organized this under his patronage. So there'd be agricultural machines, there'd be a fun fair. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati we're talking about. Organized a big show, big fun fair, rides for the children, you know, the Ferris wheel, little things that go around about the teacups, you know, donkey rides, new agricultural machinery, wrestling matches, and kirtan. So he brought thousands and thousands of people together for fun and an agricultural show, but there was kirtan there. That's how he did it. Ordinary people like ordinary things. In Italy, they've had a program for a long time where they have a festival. They bring the Hare Krishna festival to a town when it's the festival day of that village. On the festival day of that village, they glorify the saint. So devotees will go and help them, and they'll help with the parade, and they'll show off, they'll bring a cow to the village, and they'll do kirtan, and they'll distribute free food. And it really works well. The villagers, thank you for helping us celebrate our annual fiesta. So following on from that, the devotees built a radio station in the days, pre-internet days. And they had 17 transmitters up and down the length of Italy. And they were broadcasting 24 hours a day, kirtan, little discussions, all in Italian, of course. But one thing they would do was that three times a day, they would make a special broadcast. "Hello, everybody. Now it's time to offer the food. Place the food in front of the radio. We'll say the prayers and it will bless your food. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. Are you ringing a bell at home? Ring the bell now with me. Ding, 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 ding." Everybody was offering their food. Until one day, they got phone calls from people all over Italy. "Why, when you got it, you forgot to do..." They'd forgotten to put the prayers on. People were ringing in from all over Italy. "You forgot to put the prayers on. We can't eat." Coming up to Christmas, they made a national broadcast. "The monks' feet are cold. The monks need new socks." They had 5 tons of socks arrive at the temple. From all over Italy, they were sending socks. Common people. How to reach the common people. Okay. Sometimes we make the other mistake. "I will preach to the poorest of the poorest of the poor. I'll spend all my life doing food for life. For poorest of the poorest of the poorest of the poor. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy reaches everyone." That's another mistake. We did that And in 1974, Srila Prabhupada came here. And the whole, 73. This whole temple room was filled with new converts. And they were all, Haribo, 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 Haribo. Prabhupada wrote a letter to he looked, he could see the quality of the person. He wrote to Mukunda, he said, please, now you must try to find some leaders. He said, it is very nice that you've filled your temple with people jumping. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. This is in his letter. He said, now find some leaders. How long will the others stay? Interesting. So Ribata Nandan Swami, he did 140 programs all over the country, each and every university he went to. And in each and every university, this was 71, they had 150, 200, 300 students would come. Same presentation that you'd be familiar with today. And then they'd go, and on the next night, they'd be in another university, make an arrangement. Prabhupada wrote to them. He said, please, I like your program, but please stay there long enough to make a devotee. Please stay there long enough that their interest is developed. A week or 2 weeks, stay there long enough. So he wanted some traction. You see, so Prabhupada on the one hand is, you know, like this, like that. Upper classes, lower classes, you know, very quick visit long enough to make traction. This all requires great sensitivity. And of course, we all have to emulate Prabhupada sitting on that park bench with a very crystal clear idea of what he wanted to achieve and revealing that. We've been to that park bench. It's still there. Or at least the son or daughter of that park bench is still there. In New York, you can go to that place. I just want to wind down a little bit. My next principle is that tolerance and patience are required. In 1976, long before you were born, England was having problems with the Irish. There was the troubles, and there were bombs going off in different places. And our devotees would go out selling books, and a bomb would go off in the town. One of our devotees was in Londonderry. A bomb went off. A devotee was showered in glass. You think book distribution is dangerous now? Let's try then. So we came in with a festival program to Londonderry. Now, Londonderry has two halves separated by a river, and on one side is Protestant, the other side is Catholic. Such was great animosity that a civil rights march just a few years before had resulted in 14 deaths of innocent people on a civil rights march. British soldiers had opened fire. Such was the tension. We went back into that place with a single-decker bus and a festival crew on a prearranged visit to a local youth club in the Catholic part of the town. The young people saw our registration plates on the bus, saw that they were British plates. You can always tell a British plate. And three and three. Northern Irish plate is 4 and 2 or 4 and 3. And they started stoning us. So here we were under a hail of stones and clods of earth on our way to try and do something for people. So one window broke, and then it was like going through a rain of through a hail of stones. We got to the hall, and the leaders of the IRA leaders at the time said, okay, they're with us, they're here for the night. So we did kirtan, we did a play, did more kirtan, did a talk, and then we gave everybody strawberry halva and strawberry milkshake. So we arrived being stoned, and we left them delighted, cheering us on as we left. So I just want to say that you will find difficult situations in which you're disrespected or uninvited, you find yourself uninvited, but you have to be very patient. Because Nityananda Prabhu's preaching is also tempered by the ability to be very, very tolerant to the Jagais and Madais. Organization. Was there anything that ever happened without organization? Organization means this is what we want to achieve, this is where we are. This is what we've got, this is what we would like. Plan out all the steps in between and work towards the goal. If it's not crystal clear, it won't happen. Combination of devotees means that everybody works together. One thing that ISKCON has unfortunately become very capable is creating one-man armies. One-man armies, one-woman armies. A charity with three people. ISKCON is now devolving into many, many different groups. Each group has five or six people and they've set up a separate charity. That's not originally Prabhupada's idea. The original idea was that we all work together. But to work together, you have to talk to people. Has to have a plan. So, what do we hope for people with that organization? The big word in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that we read yesterday was Vyudha. Arjuna says to Krishna, pull our chariot so they can see the Vyudha, the arrangements, the formations, the battle formations. Let's see what we've got to contend with. ISKCON also requires a battle formation, a loving battle formation. How will these things be accomplished? Teams, groups, sanghas, call them what you like, but all working as a coordinated whole. These are the goals I think we could concentrate on. One, our congregation members can learn. Well, we're good at that. Opportunities for learning. So we have everything now in place. From what's the first one? Gita Life is the first one or the second one? Is Gita Life primary? What would you say? What's the first thing people come to? I want to know more about this kind of thing. What is it that you teach? Where do they go? Unless you know the person who asked you that question is not going anywhere. You must all have the answer. What is the first thing? If you're a Jehovah's Witness, the first thing is the Bible study, which will come to your home. If you're a, what is it? What are they called? Mormons. Yeah, if you're a Mormon, you know what course comes next. To a person who says, I want to know a bit more about what you do. Can you, where can I go? What's the course, Maharaj? Gita Life. So get a life. Get a life. So Gita Life. And then we must all know what comes next. What comes next? What comes next? What comes next? One of the difficulties when you do start a group is that someone will be doing nectar of devotion in the group. And a new person will come in and say, what's the soul? And you'll go, I can't. You must stratify in order to illuminate people. Next thing is practicing. Not everybody wants to be initiated. Have you noticed? Be happy when a person chants one round. Be happy. Don't guide everyone towards initiation. It's not for everybody. Even those who are initiated, it wasn't really for them. We are finding out, aren't we? We heard it everywhere. We herded all the sheep towards initiation. They got initiated. And now they're no longer practicing. And I know that because in 1976, this room was completely filled with different people. They've all gone. So we have to hold on to people. You only get to hold on to people when they feel good about Krishna consciousness. You feel good about Krishna consciousness. When it's nurturing you, there's some sense of progress, but you're not being herded or beaten towards a certain goal. Hare Krishna, say no more. Following, well, people should try to remove the harmful things from their life. You know, most people get it when we talk to them about not eating animals. Some people just don't get the other things. So gently speaking, we've got what used to be extreme is now unfortunately normal. You know, the drugs that used to be for extreme people are now normal. They're in every town and village. They got there before you. Because they were very sensible. You know, the drug dealers got on the county lines and they sent everybody up the train lines to get drugs to every town and village. Unless you get there first, unless you do it, some other message is going to be there. I am winding up. People need to join together in a group. That's a natural tendency. For that, we have lots of different bits of advice. But when they come together, they feel good. The most commonly asked question that I get, is there anybody in my town? Is there anybody in my village? You know, people don't want to be the only member of a group of practitioners in their town. They want to find other people. So they have to also be prepared to travel sometimes. We need to get people telling others. We need to tell others, and those others need to tell others. Yeah. That's how COVID spread, right? COVID spread by... Okay? So we have to be the same. Chuta. Chuta.
Hi, hi, hi.
Finally, people need protection. They need protection from their own minds, from the minds of others, from the minds of old friends. This world is very intolerant of people who try to break free. When you come to Krishna consciousness, it means you're animated by the idea that there is another life I can lead. But your old life is like a wolf on a hill. As Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, said. He said, the wolf may have left the scene. He said, but you can still smell him. The smell is still there. Your old life is still calling you, especially at Christmas time. I give all the people who I speak to a warning coming up to Christmas. Beware the wolf of Christmas past, calling you back to the cake with eggs, to your granny saying, it's just a little bit of sherry. How's that going to... Just a little bit. I mean, you don't want to hurt my feelings, do you? And in this way, Kali gets in the cracks. So where are your weak points? You know? Gosh, Christmas... We lose them coming up to Christmas and we get them back in February. I was just relaxing. Okay. Hare Krishna. So I come to the end of my talk on Nityananda's being empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I come to a little 2025 revision and an understanding of maybe some ideas by which we can move forward. Any questions or comments for 5 minutes, and then I will stop. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Who's that? Oh, it's Kishori. I thought it was a little old Indian lady.
That is what I am. Thank you so much for the stories, and wow, felt like I was watching a movie. How do we manage?
I am a movie. I'm a living movie. It's called Die Hard.
Gracefully. Very entertaining. How do you manage, or how should we manage spiritual ambition versus the idea that we should one day become akinchana, nishkinchana? Because it seems a little bit contradictory. Where, you know, since I was born, I've been told to preach.
Yeah.
And it's like you're talking about the anxiety of Nityananda Prabhu. And we're taking on that anxiety. But we're also supposed to be very satisfied and not ambitious. Not personally ambitious, not materially ambitious. But preaching is very ambitious.
Yeah.
And a very, very thin line between a personal ambition and pleasing, you know, them.
Yeah. I think, didn't someone go to Prabhupada one time and say, I can't chant Hare Krishna peacefully with my mind? And Prabhupada said, to hell with your mind. Another one went to him one time and he said, Prabhupada, you've asked us to build a temple. I'm not thinking of Krishna at all. I'm just thinking of bags of cement and steel. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is Krishna consciousness. He said, do you think Arjuna was thinking of Krishna? He was thinking of Krishna while the Bhagavad Gita was being spoken. But afterwards, what was Arjuna's relationship with Krishna? He wasn't thinking of Krishna at all. In fact, Arjuna was treating Krishna, you could say, rather harshly. This is the Krishna that has just shown Arjuna his universal form and said, Sarvadharma Prajaja, surrender to me. So you'd imagine that Arjuna was the humble, submissive devotee. What Arjuna was actually doing was killing people. And how was Arjuna using his feet? He was tapping Krishna on the shoulder, kicking Krishna. Left shoulder means drive the chariot this way. Right shoulder means drive the chariot that way. So here's Krishna. He's put himself in a subordinate position. And Arjuna is just telling him what to do. After having revealed that he's the God of gods, the King of kings, the source of the whole universe. So how does that work? Because when you try to serve Krishna, it may not look as if you're the humble servant. So the humble servant of Krishna, we have images, don't we? The image that I'm looking for is sitting in Vrindavan, chanting Hare Krishna, tears coming from the eyes. Not bags of cement. But we do what Krishna wants us to do. So I'd like to be sitting in Mayapur right now, chanting Hare Krishna with a completely peaceful mind. But I'm sitting on a sofa somewhere in Grimsby with a person saying, oh, what about this and what about that? No. The point is we are creatures under orders. We just have orders. And with order comes courage. When you've been ordered to do something, great courage comes from that. We have Dwari always comes out with you. Shakshi Gopal comes out on Saturday night, Harinam. What a wonderful thing that is, Saturday. Everyone should go out on Saturday night, Harinam. What a wonderful experience that is. You got Govinda, you got Deepak, you got Sakshi. Sakshi Gopal's father was in the Second World War in a Lancaster bomber, you know, flying over enemy territory, being shot at. We don't have to do that. They're under orders. Sometimes we don't understand this principle of order. Prabhupada gave orders, but now sometimes all we get is requests, submissive requests. Anybody who has a guru, has your guru ever ordered you to do anything? But they don't so much, do they? You've been ordered to do something, like an order. That's good, very few. This principle of being ordered to do something automatically brings courage. So the order must be there. When you receive an order, that's what you do, that's what you carry that out. If it's up to you to decide what you do, then you're not serving the guru, are you? Because you haven't been ordered. Therefore, we must receive the order. Or we must have a clear order, then everything becomes practicable. But this image that you might have of yourself as being a peaceful, materially unattached person, that might not be what the order involves. So first find out what the order is, then you can match up your expectations to the order. Is that clear? Did I mumble my way through that? Adiguru, is that okay? You catch that?
But today you said that we've all been ordered.
Well, the order comes down through the parampara, so that's fine. Where we have to serve. And you get rewarded. You definitely get rewarded. I never wanted to distribute books. Not really. And I couldn't figure out the Christmas marathon, how we choose the coldest time of the year to go out. Whose idea was that? You know, you wait until the snow is falling, then you ask everybody to go out on book distribution. Or, you know, how about June? Or July. How about having a... But when Prabhupada came here and he asked to speak to the book distributors, and I was one of the book distributors, just 15 of us sat in Prabhupada's room, and he thanked us for doing it, then what a great reward. So you get the order, you execute the order, and then you get the reward. One more? It's all on the ladies' side today. Yeah. Oh, let's have a chat. You give the mic. All right, well, I saw you first.
Am I going?
Because she asked.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I just want a little clarification, because you were saying that the devotees somebody suggested the devotees could go on a TV show or something like that, and then the person was surprised because they're like, oh, do devotees have opinions?
Yeah.
So then I was wondering, like, because there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the 12th chapter, the last five verses, it says, one who is very dear to the Lord. And it says that one of the qualities is that the devotee doesn't have any cares. And so, yeah, Prabhupada explains in the purport that it's because he doesn't identify with any political party. So I just wanted to clarify, like, what you mean by the devotees don't have any opinions.
Yeah. Of course, politics is a word which means when I try to create followers for my opinion. It's usually how we use the word politics. Then there are political parties, etc. But we should have apolitical opinions about everything. In other words, what would represent for us a movement forward? Kali Yuga is progressing. What would represent for us a stemming the tide of Kali Yuga? Or to represent the best we can manage right now. You look at a problem, and then you look at a possible solution, and does the possible solution involve Krishna consciousness in some way? And then you can espouse that recommendation. In other words, we might say something like, we feel, I mean, people do for different reasons. For instance, an easy one is vegetarianism. I mean, the great Sir David Attenborough, who's the great mouthpiece of opinions on how to preserve the world of nature. He, not too long ago, went on camera to record his opinion that the world would be better off if everybody became vegetarian. And because he's influential, many people became vegetarian. So a person who's acting on the inspiration of Krishna consciousness is sometimes like Narada Muni. Narada Muni, when he was preaching to the hunter, what was his opinion then? You should be a vegetarian. His opinion then was, let me give you something that you can work on. Instead of half killing the animals, can you completely kill the animals? In other words, here's Narada Muni, the great preacher on behalf of Krishna, saying you should completely kill animals. So it would be perfectly legitimate in some circumstances for a devotee to have an opinion, let's say, that you should completely stun animals before they're killed for meat. That's a valid preaching position. There should be more compassion in farming. There should be more adequate care. There should be more protection from pain. Now, in your heart, you want everybody to stop killing animals completely. But the opinion that you espouse may be just to try to get the person to move up. So we're all in the position of moving the person up as far as possible. Let's see what you can do. But you have to be the judge of what you speak in any particular circumstance. See? Does that make sense? So when you go on a TV show or a radio show, what is your opinion? Well, our opinion is that everybody should do what I'm doing. But that doesn't cut it with most of the listeners, because they're not going to do what you're doing, because that's what you do. You have to come up with a persuasive argument why I should change my life because of your opinion. But if my opinion is something that will help you in your life, then... And sometimes you have to be equivocal or unequivocal. Like you go to the doctor and the doctor says, your lungs are a disaster. I want you to, you know, give up smoking. And the man says, yeah, I'll try and cut down. And the doctor says, no, that's not what I said. You have to give up completely, otherwise you're dying. You will die. So there's a time and a place for an unequivocal opinion, and there's a time and a place for what you might call an opinion which will bring about a desired effect. So Narada Muni was expert. How much expertise do you have as a person when the microphone approaches you or the cameras start rolling on the TV show? There's such rubbish being spoken every single day. I don't know if you noticed, but this country is being led by idiots. I mean, never in my life have I had such disrespect for politicians generally and for the government. And maybe it's because I'm old. Maybe it's because I've run out of options. But I just see the things they say are just foolish. Foolish. Idiotic. And it's not like they're espousing opinions which are new. They're saying the same old stuff that led to a collapse of the government before. I mean, we had a private meeting with the person who's now the Prime Minister of the country upstairs in the temple president's office for half an hour, asking us what we would like to see. That's the position we should be in. Devotees of this movement should be on a confidential relationship basis with leading thinkers and influential people. They're grasping at straws. There's no new ideas. If you come up with an idea, then the government is willing to throw money at you if you provide a solution. Just like our schools. We have an idea. Let's create a school. It's one of Prabhupada's ideas. Create a school where kids are taught about Krishna, and they're disciplined, and they're clean, and they're respectful. And they're growing into gentlemen and gentle ladies. Let's create a school. Revolutionary idea. That there should be discipline in schools. That God should come back into school. How much money has the British government spent on Hare Krishna schools? How much money? 200 million. 200 million pounds has been given. That's the cut. When you want something to happen and somebody has a good idea and they provide, you know, they can roll it out, that's the level of funding that you get. Come up with a good idea that will solve problems in this country. We were asked by the government of Poland, does ISKCON have a way that we can get lots of young people off drugs? And at that time ISKCON had no opinion. We should say everybody should chant Hare Krishna. Well, that's fine, but they're not going to stop taking drugs. What is our approach? Another spiritual organization said, yes, we have a drug rehab program. and they got the funding. So if you want to change the world, it takes good ideas of Krishna consciousness, organized, put into words that people can understand, with a small project that's proven itself to be successful, then it can be rolled out nationwide. Because otherwise, this whole country is, as we used to say, going to hell in a handbasket. It really is. It really is. Don't get me started about diversity or gender pronouns. Please, don't get me started, because it's time for breakfast. We have one over here.
Hare Krishna, Kupama Prabhu. Thank you so much.
I've seen you so long.
Hare Krishna. Now and then.
Are you right, Wach?
I have a question. We've been speaking about receiving this order from the Guru Parampara, from Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. And you just, in one point, you just touch upon this, but I would like to know, you use the word reward. So I would like to know why we're doing this for. Like we speak about the mercy, but I would really like to know, what does it mean for us as individuals which are doing the preaching? What does it come? What do I get from it? And I'm very much Sakama Karma Yogi, I guess.
Yeah.
I would like to know what is there for me.
Well, very soon we're going to have our Christmas Marathon Festival, right? When is that?
17th of January.
17th of January. And everybody who stood on the street in the rain and the cold selling books for a month, you're going to be rewarded. And what's the reward? One biscuit. You've worked selflessly in a dedicated way in the cold weather for an entire month. Here's a reward, one biscuit. So there must be some other reward than that. And I tell you what, the reward is such that you cannot even imagine the rewards that we, as Jesus would say, the rewards have stocked up in heaven. Even now, the rewards that we have waiting for us are immense, just by doing what we've done already. But I personally feel that you cannot continue as a preacher unless you do have three rewards. One is the internal corroboration that you're doing the right thing. We might call it the warm fuzziness, the warm spiritual feeling that envelops us and brings a tear to the eye. This is Krishna consciousness, and I know I'm doing the right thing. Without that, you can't continue. Who can continue? Second is when the guru says, thank you for doing this. So the guru is representative. Says thank you for doing it. You've done a wonderful job. That's there as well. The third reward, and sometimes the reward that keeps us really motivated, is when people come up to us and say, thank you, you brought about a change in my life, which is really wonderful. You know, you've given me Krishna consciousness. I've seen how in the past few months in Liverpool, you've made a change to the whole city. I just want to thank you. And I just know. No, I'm saying that's what they say to you. But you took it as me. So when people say that, and you realize you've made a difference in just one life, it's like the starfish. You know the starfish story? Man's walking along a beach and he sees a person picking up a starfish and throwing it back into the water. And there's thousands and thousands of starfish got washed up. He says, look, there's thousands and thousands of them. What difference are you going to make with just throwing one back? And he picks up one and he throws it into the water and he says, it made a difference to that one. So sometimes it's like that. We make a difference in the life of just one person. Just one person. But from that one person, what can come? It's like Prabhupada, he spoke in great appreciation of somebody called Narendranath Malik. You know his name? Narendranath Malik. And Narendranath Malik was the person, Prabhupada said, he caught me by the arm and he pulled me to go and see my spiritual master. He said, I did not want to go, but he pulled me. This is in 1922. Pulled me by the arm. So he never forgot. And then we never hear of Narendranath Malik ever again. And of course, if it hadn't been him, it would have been someone else. But what a difference that one action made. And sometimes it's one action in the life of one person that really contributes to the complete success of our movement in a different way. I was talking to Indrajumna Swami, and he was telling me how he'd come to Krishna consciousness. Just on that day, there was an exhibition at a particular art museum, and featured at the art museum was some pictures of Krishna. And he was very interested in that. But it was getting close to 6 o'clock, and the museum was closing. So he went up to the non-educated security guard, and he said, could you tell me a little bit more about this picture with this blue person in the picture? He said, oh, I don't know. He said, I don't know what they are. But anyway, we're closing now. So he walked out of the museum, and he walked down the steps. He walked down the steps of the museum, and there was a Harinam party. This Harinam party was made up of 4 sannyasis who'd been excommunicated by Prabhupada. Prabhupada told them, get out. You get out, get out, get out. You're spreading a poisonous message. And of course they'd left, but what could they do? 4 sannyasis. They'd been asked by Prabhupada to leave ISKCON. They came back. But for those few weeks, when they were outside, they did Harinam and they carried on doing programs. So they invited the young person to their flat, or he invited them to their flat, I forget which it was. And they cooked a feast every day for a week. And he said that completely convinced him. Hey, look, if you can't be convinced if you've got 4 sannyasis in a room and you're feasting every day. You got no hope. You're rock hard. So that brought him to Krishna consciousness. So sometimes it just takes one thing to bring someone. And you never know who it's going to be. You never know who it's going to be. How that one person is going to spread Krishna consciousness to so many others. Adiguru, you must have a story like that. Curly? Could be, couldn't it? You want to tell your story about Curly? How you came to Krishna consciousness? He's laughing, he can't remember.
So I was associated with in a temple. So I was assured in a temple, South Norwood. Oh. And me, my wife, my son, we started going there regularly.
Oh.
So we have just started, right? So slowly we are getting into it now.
Yeah. Thank you.
He thought you were looking, asking him, you see.
Yeah. All right, we'll finish there. Just give Krishna to one person. That's the trick. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That will be your reward.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srinityananda. Jai.